Well, we turn now to the Word of God, and I'd like to direct your attention to three verses that we read in Luke chapter 2. Over the Christmas period, my mind turned to the record that we have here of this dear servant of the Lord, Anna. And there's just a few devotional thoughts, really, that I'd like to share with you concerning her life. We only have three verses in the scriptures about her. This is all that we know of her from verse 36 to verse 38. Perhaps we'll read those verses again. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And as one of those characters in the scriptures, about whom really we know very little, but the little that we do know about her is very instructive for us. J.C. Ryle, in his expository thoughts, says this: "The facts recorded about Anna are few and simple, but we shall find them full of instruction." And I trust we find something to instruct us and to help us in our Christian lives this evening. In many ways, Anna was a most extraordinary character, according to the record that we have here of her. And there is a lot that we can learn from her. And if we follow the brief example that she has left us, then I believe we shall live lives that are pleasing to the Lord and are profitable to others with whom we come into contact. But first of all, there's just some general observations that I'd like to make about her, and then to draw out some more specific lessons. First of all, as I say, we only have a very brief record concerning her. She is unique to this passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 2. There's no other reference to her whatsoever in the Word of God. We know too that in Bible times, particularly, names that people were given had a great significance, and the name Anna actually means gracious. I don't know, but I wonder whether her parents realised when she was born the gracious lady that she would become. I wonder whether they prayed for her that she would know something of the grace of God in her life. Certainly, in the record that we have about her, we have a great deal of evidence to show that she was a gracious soul and she knew something of the grace of God. It's interesting to notice that the name Anna is actually the Greek equivalent of the name Hannah. And there's an obvious connection between Anna in the New Testament and Hannah in the Old Testament, because both of them were women of prayer. We are told that Anna was a prophetess. There'd been 400 years of silence since the Old Testament, but it would seem that prophecy began to revive just prior to the incarnation, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, his coming into the world. And she was one of a remnant who were waiting for and looking for the Messiah to come and be born. We're told very clearly that Simeon too, who was in the temple at that time, was one of that remnant as well. In verse 25, we are told that he was a just man and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And it's evident too that Anna was, alongside Simeon, one of those who were waiting for the Messiah to come, because when she had seen the infant Lord Jesus Christ, she spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. One of a godly remnant then who were waiting for the Messiah to come. And we of course have a promise, don't we, of the coming again of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We feel in these days that we are but a remnant, a small number of faithful believers. And I trust as faithful believers we are looking for the Lord Jesus Christ, not to come as a babe in Bethlehem, but to come that second time without sin unto salvation, to come in power and in great glory. And it should be a mark of us, of our lives as believers, that we are looking forward to that event with expectation and anticipation. Not that we try to predict the time when our Saviour will return, because no one knows the day nor the hour. And some people, perhaps in their zeal, have tried to make predictions and all kinds of things, and have led to confusion, and have perhaps led to other believers not considering the great doctrine of the second coming as perhaps they ought to. But nevertheless, we ought to be looking forward with expectation and anticipation to that day when our Saviour shall come. We should be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. We are told too that Anna was the daughter of Phanuel, and it could be that Luke, when he wrote this under inspiration, wanted to remind us of Jacob. We know that Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, where he saw God face to face, and there is a link between Peniel and the name Phanuel as well. We know, of course, that Anna saw God face to face when she saw the infant Christ in the temple. And it's also worthy of note, Anna's purity. She was a holy, godly lady, because we are told at the end of verse 36 that she lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. In other words, when she married her husband, she was a virgin. She was pure. And there's an obvious lesson that we need to learn from that, particularly in this generation in which we live. Well, there's just a few observations about Anna. I want to come on now to some more specific lessons. Some more specific lessons that we can learn about this dear lady, Anna. And one of the first things that we notice about her is her period of life, or her age. Her period of life, or her age. We're told in verse 36 that she was of a great age, and verse 37 tells us that she was a widow of about 84 years, a widow of 84 years. Now, the commentators vary as to their view of exactly how old she was. Some people look at verse 37 and say that she was a widow who was 84 years of age. But some people think what that means is that she'd actually been a widow for 84 years. And we are told that she was of a great age. We know that she'd been married for 7 years, so that would be 91 years. And it's thought that in those days she could have married when she was between 12 and 15 or 16. So that could have made her between 103 and 107 years of age. We don't know, but we are told very clearly and definitely that she was of a great age. Now, old age is not something that we look forward to. It's not a period of life that most people anticipate with great relish, because we know if we're spared to live a great age, with that great age will come a number of problems. Our bodies begin to break down. We begin not to be able to do things that we used to be able to do. And there can sometimes be a great indignity attached to old age. And in some respects, it's not always a pleasant experience in life. But Anna is a great example to us that even if we are spared to see old age with all the frailties and all the difficulties that a great age may bring us to, yet we can still serve the Lord. Anna was of a great age, but she still served the Lord. There's no retirement from the Lord's service. We can't decide when we get to 65 or 70 or whatever the retirement age is these days, we're not going to serve the Lord anymore, and there's nothing else that we can do in the Lord's service. Whilst we live, whilst our hearts still beat and there's breath in our bodies, there is still a work for us to do in this world for the Lord. I met a man 2 or 3 years ago, a Christian man I'd not met before, an elderly gentleman, And he was telling me that about this time last year, he had a particular illness from which he recovered. And then one day he was going out on a coach trip, and he happened to sit next to a lady who told him that they got talking about this particular illness. And this lady told him that she also had a son who was much younger than this gentleman, obviously, and he'd had that same illness and he died. And so this elderly gentleman thought, well, I don't know why the Lord should have spared my life when someone else much younger has died. There must be a work that the Lord has given me to do. And whilst we remain in this world, if we're spared to live to a great age, there is still a work for us to do. We may not be able to do perhaps some of the things that we did when we were younger. Our sphere of service may change for the Lord, but there is still something that we can do. And we can still be fruitful for the Lord as well. The Psalm 92 says, "They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing." We should seek still to serve the Lord. We should seek still to be spiritually fruitful for the Lord, even though we may be of a great age. I've seen this sometimes, and it's sad when older people seem to lose their spiritual vitality. They don't seem to be as interested in spiritual things when they get older as they were when they were younger, and that's sad. I'm not talking about not being able to do the same things. I'm not talking about people perhaps not being able to get out to the meetings when they're older as they did when they're younger. That's not what I mean. It's when people lose a certain spiritual vitality and keenness and zeal for the things of God that once they had. Matthew Henry said, the Bible commentator, "It is a pleasant sight to see aged Christians abounding in acts of devotion, as those that are not weary in well-doing, that do not think themselves above these exercises or past them, but that take more and more pleasure in them and see more and more need of them till they come to heaven." Anna was of a great age, but yet she served the Lord in ways that we'll see in a minute. And if you feel this evening that you are approaching a great age, follow the example of Anna. If you're younger, still follow the example of Anna. We're not told, but I would suggest to you that what Anna was in her old age, she actually had been for many years, and she was probably the same when she was much younger as she was when she was older. I would think that the habits that she formed were those that were formed younger in her life. So even if we feel that we are younger this evening, we can still learn much from the example of Anna. We mustn't say, well, I'll think about these things when I come to a great age. When I'm older, I'll serve the Lord. Or when I'm older, I'll give myself to prayer. No, we must think about these things now. For one thing, we don't know whether we shall reach a great age if we're younger. The only day that we're promised is now, and we must seek to serve the Lord faithfully now. Her period of life, her great age, she was aged, but she still had a work to do for the Lord. The second thing that we see about Anna, and which is of note concerning her, is her presence in the sanctuary. Her presence in the sanctuary. We're told in verse 37, "And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers, night and day." She departed not from the temple. It's thought that perhaps she lived in the temple court, or at any rate, she was always there whenever she could be. I would think perhaps in view of her great age that she actually lived there. She did not depart from the temple. She did not depart from the place of public worship. She was always there. What a good example Anna sets for us. Now, I'm not suggesting that we have to come and take up residence in the chapel and live here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We probably wouldn't serve any useful purpose if we did that, really. But it should certainly be our aim, our endeavour, to be in the house of God, to be in the place of public worship, whenever we can be, whenever the doors are open, whenever we have opportunity. We used to have a brother in the chapel at Dawes Heath, in the church at Dawes Heath, who was a deacon actually for many years. He joined the church when he was about 20, and he served the Lord there faithfully until the Lord called him home when he was just over 90 years of age. So for 70 years he served the Lord faithfully. I was with him in the church for about 25 years. And one of the things that was most remarkable about him was that he was always there all of the services. I don't think he ever missed a Lord's Day service, apart from two or three occasions when he was in hospital in the 25 years that I was there, until just before he was called home. He had to go into residential care, and it really did get too much for him to come. But he was always there. He was a tremendous example to us of faithfulness. And I remember one occasion when somebody said to him at the end of the morning service, they said, "Are you going to be here tonight?" And he said, "Yes," he said, "because I attend all the markets." And that might be a rather quaint phrase, but what he meant by that was, it was with the Lord's people, in the Lord's house, on the Lord's day, that he gathered the provisions for his soul. And he always attended in order that he might receive the blessing. What an example to us, not to depart from the temple, to be there whenever the doors of God's house are open. We stand at the beginning of a new year. Will you seek in this new year, as far as lies within you, and as far as you are able, to attend all the services at God's house? Now, I know, of course, sometimes there's quite genuine reasons that prevent us from coming, and sometimes we cannot do those things that we would, and the Lord is mindful. But whenever we can, we should seek to be there, and it should be the place where we love to be. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. In fact, backsliding, departing from the living God, begins when we begin to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're told, aren't we, on that resurrection day, how when the Lord Jesus Christ revealed himself to his disciples, that Thomas was not there. Oh, how much he missed by not being there with the disciples. We know that Anna, by being constantly in the temple, was there when the infant Lord Jesus Christ came and was presented. And she was blessed with a sight of Christ. Isn't it when we gather with God's people in his house that we meet with Christ? We learn of him, we're in his presence. Oh, how much we miss if we're absent from the house of God. In one of John Newton's lesser known hymns, it is in Gospel Hymns, I think, he says this: "With joy they hasten to the place where they the Saviour oft have met, and while they feast upon his grace, their burdens and their griefs forget." Do we hasten to the place where we meet with our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ? Or there's so much that we miss if we do not come to the house of God whenever we can. This is the place where we meet with Christ. And the time when we, if we deliberately make ourselves absent, when we could be there, it might be the time when the Lord draws near in a special way. It might be the time when someone's converted. It might be the time when someone comes, perhaps, that we've been praying for years, and we would miss it if we weren't there. How sad it would have been for Anna if she'd not been there in the temple when the Lord Jesus Christ had come suddenly, and she'd missed it. But she was there, and she didn't miss it. We need to remember, too, in this day and age in which we live, with all the modern technology, that the internet is no substitute for coming to the house of God. Yes, it's wonderful that we have this resource where we can listen to literally hundreds of thousands of good sermons on the internet. As long as we know what we're listening to and that it's sound, it can be a very helpful resource. But it's no substitute for coming to God's house when we could be. Mr. Gerald Buss from Chippenham very often prays for those on the Lord's Day who would come if they could, and those who could come if they would. Well, may we always seek to be those who do come to the house of God, and desire so to do. We must hurry on because our time is going. But the third thing we notice about Anna is her prayer. She served God with fastings and prayers night and day. This was her service for the Lord. She was an aged saint. She didn't depart from the temple, but she served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Undoubtedly God was pleased with her fastings. She wasn't like the Pharisees with whom it was just a pretense. This was real. It was genuine. She was a true servant of the Lord who served the Lord in these ways with her prayers. Will you serve the Lord with your prayers? This is a work for the Lord that you can do. Prayer is within the reach of every one of us. Every believer here this evening can serve the Lord with his or her prayers. And how we need prayer warriors. Isn't this one of the great needs of the hour for those who will pray and who will seek God's face? The Lord Jesus Christ told a parable, didn't he, to the end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And his elect cry day and night unto him. She served God with fastings and prayers night and day. There's a lovely consistency about her life. I know, of course, this is only a snapshot, as it were. Undoubtedly, she would have had her failings and her shortcomings because she was a sinner. But what we have revealed to us concerning her is this lovely consistency of this dear servant of the Lord who night and day sought the Lord's face in prayer. If I may quote Matthew Henry once again, he said, having no secular business to employ herself in, or being past it, she gave up herself wholly to her devotions. Now, maybe she was in a unique situation. She was able to live at the temple. She was able to serve God night and day with prayer. You might say, well, I can't do that. I've got my work to do. I've got my family to see to. And that's, of course, legitimate. But we should do what we can in seeking God's face in prayer. It's not the number of talents that God gives us, but it's what we do with the talents that God has given to us. Does God give us opportunities to seek his face in prayer? Then we should seek to use those opportunities and seek his face. And we can pray when there's nothing else that we can do. If there's no other service that you can undertake for the Lord, you can pray. You can pray for those who do. And this is the best thing that we can do, is pray. There's nothing better that we can do than pray. And oh, how the Lord blessed this praying soul, Anna. How the Lord blessed this dear soul. I'm sure she had probably no idea that even perhaps she would see the infant Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know, unless God had revealed that to her. But I'm absolutely certain she had no idea that a record of her life would be left in the scriptures, and that more than 2,000 years later, people would be reading about her, and as they have done down the years and down the centuries, and would be following her example. Oh, how the Lord blessed this praying soul in a way that she knew nothing of at the time. As John Newton puts it in one of his hymns, to praying souls, God always grants more than they can express. So she was of great age. We've seen her period of life. We've seen her presence in the sanctuary. She didn't depart from the temple. We've seen that she served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And the final thing that I would like to draw to your attention this evening is her proclamation. Her proclamation. We have this lovely phrase at the end of verse 38. Well, I'll read the whole verse. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She had the privilege of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, and she spoke of him to all those who were looking for redemption in Jerusalem. We can speak of so many things, and of course, there are many things about which it is legitimate for us to speak. But can there be any better, any greater, or any sweeter theme for our conversation, any sweeter theme to employ our tongues than to speak of him, to speak of our dear Saviour? when we gather together with the Lord's people, how much of our conversation is about the Saviour. Of course, there are other things that concern us in our lives, and it's quite legitimate that we talk about those things too. But surely it wouldn't come amiss sometimes if we spoke more about the Saviour. She spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem, to all that godly remnant who were looking for him. How she would have been a means of encouragement and blessing to those dear souls who were looking and waiting for Christ to be born. "I've found him, I've seen him," she would say. Or how encouraged they would be to hear and know that he had come. Or how we can be an encouragement. Or how we can be a blessing to one another as believers when we talk together of the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read, don't we, in Luke chapter 24, of those two disciples on the Emmaus road, how they talked together and reasoned concerning those things that they'd seen, the crucifixion of Christ. And as they talked together, Jesus himself drew near. And isn't it so, as we speak of him one to another, that Jesus Christ himself draws near? Are you so full of Christ? Has he been such a blessing to you? Is he such a precious Saviour to you that it is your joy and privilege and delight to speak of him to other believers? Do you so love Christ that you cannot help but speak of him? Do you have a testimony of him to give to those in the world? Well, our time has gone this evening. We've just thought briefly upon this brief record that we have concerning this dear servant of the Lord, this aged saint. But there is so much that we can learn from her example. Whether we be older or whether we be younger, may we follow in her footsteps. May we be those who serve God as she did. And we have a lovely record here of her life. I wonder what record will be left of our lives when we're no longer here. What will we be noted for? What will people say of us? Well, may we so live that by God's grace, the things which were said concerning Anna of old may be said of us. So may the Lord help us and bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake. Amen.